It's Revolution 96.2, and the MP for Rochdale, Simon Danchuk, is with me. Hiya, Simon.
Good morning, Andy.
All right.
Yeah, very well, thanks. Yeah, good to be with you.
Now, it's fair to say that controversy tends to sort of follow you around a little bit. You're a bit of a controversial figure. Do you think you can turn that to your advantage because it brings profile with it, or would you like to shake that image off?
Well, I think what I've done over the last few years of being a Member of Parliament is probably put my head above the parapet on a number of issues, whether it's child sexual abuse through to talking about business rates to, you know, just campaigning heavily on different issues, really, that are relevant to Rochdale. And one consequence of that is, you're right, it increases one's profile. But that then makes you something of a target as well. Mm-hmm. And I accept that, you know, that's part of, I don't complain about it. That's part of being in public life. And I do see the job of being an MP as ruffling some feathers, getting the message out there. So the advantage is that you can get heard and you can give a voice to the voiceless in many instances. But the downside is that that you can get some stick as well, and that's part of the course.
Do you think, though, as being an MP, do you think getting personal stick is par for the course?
Well, I think it is. I mean, that's where we are in terms of politics, you know, and people, you know, see the politicians quite understandably as public figures who are answerable and have to be transparent and accountable. And that's how it should be, I think. So it's what's expected in the job, really.
From a personal point of view, there've been, you know, I see tweets and articles and things about you, and you know, sometimes people say that you're greedy, you're unprincipled, you're unscrupulous. You get stick about personal things, you get stick about financial things. Does that upset you as a person when you read stuff like that about yourself?
Well, you can't help but be affected by it. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And, you know, there's quite a lot of, you know, stick flying around. There's no doubt about that either. But you just have to take it. You know, that's the nature of being a politician in the 21st century in Britain, you know. So I don't let it bother me. You know, social media opens you up for all of this. And I don't want to retreat away from that, because social media is a great way of getting your message out there. And so I use it to do that. But one of the downsides is that you get people, you know, verbally abusing you, really. But it's all part of the course.
So do you think the advantages of that extra channel of communication outweigh the nastiness?
Yeah, I think they do, actually. I think it's a great way of getting your message out there, you know, and I've just recently started writing a blog, and, you know, I send that out, and I've started doing something called Simon Says, a video that goes up every week onto YouTube, and that gets a good number of hits as well. People view that. They can see what I've been working on the week before. The blog that I've been writing gets a lot of hits. People read that. So it's a great way, you know, that's on Tumblr, you know, so it's a great way of getting a message out there, you know. You don't want to lose that.
When there is nasty stuff going around, do you get support from parliamentary colleagues, or do you feel a bit out on a limb?
Oh, no. The interesting thing about Parliament is that MPs cross-party are very supportive, because we're all in the same boat. We all get stick, don't mm-hmm. we, one way or the other. And they're very supportive. But I also get support from friends as well. I mean, I've had lots of support in recent weeks from close friends. And, you know, that's really important, actually.
So do you feel comfortable when you hear, I'm thinking in particular, I spoke to Karen the other week, did you feel comfortable hearing her speaking about you in public?
Yeah, no, Karen's a really good support, actually. She's one of those friends that's really supportive, and we speak on a daily basis, and, you know, I have a very high regard for Karen. She's a real rock, actually, and she's been very helpful to me and supportive, and I appreciate that.
With regards to the party, there are those who probably urge you to quieten down a little bit with your comments about Jeremy Corbyn. Do you think you're going to quiet it down, or are you going to continue to express your opinion?
Well, Jeremy is the leader of the party. I've always said that. And I think I've always been quite constructively critical, actually, sort of urging him to go in the right direction, urging him to do the right thing, encouraging him to wear a red poppy on Remembrance Sunday, you know, encouraging him to have a positive relationship with the monarchy, with the Queen, for example. And I think he's taken some of that on board. So I think it's quite a healthy relationship, really. But there's no denying it. I mean, Jeremy does a different kind of politics to me. We know, you know, I'm a moderate in terms of the party, and he would clearly admit that he's on the left of the party. But that's not a bad thing. It's a broad church, is the Labour Party, and everybody accepts that.
Can people get on, though, within the party?
Oh, I think so. And you see that down in Westminster. People of whatever wing of the party talk and discuss these issues, you know, and there might be a disagreement on a particular policy, but, you know, and that gets played out and we reach a conclusion on it. But that's gone on for decades upon decades and it won't stop now, I don't think.
Do you think there'll be a change in the leadership at some point?
No, I don't think so. I mean, a lot will depend on the elections in May. We've got Scottish, Welsh, London and local elections all at the same time. And I think Labour will do well in the London mayoral election. I think Sadiq Khan, our candidate there, should have a good chance. We might lose a few seats on councils and things. So a lot will depend on that. But I don't see Jeremy Kitt coming unstuck from that necessarily.
Any truth in the story that you've got a book lined up ready to write about Jeremy if he does cease to be leader at some
point?
No
truth in that at all, no. That's one of those tabloid stories. I don't know where it's come from, but it's certainly not true, no.
So you think that the mayoral elections might go quite well then for the Labour Party. Looking further ahead to 2020, will Jeremy Corbyn be the Prime Minister?
Well, I think we'll have to wait and see. There's some things against us. There's boundary changes for constituencies. That doesn't help Labour. They've cut some of the funding for political parties that this Conservative government have. Changes to trade union funding for the Labour Party will affect us. So it's fair to say the Conservatives have been trying to stack the cards against us in as many ways as possible, you know, using legislation and the boundary review to do that. Which I think is unhelpful, and some would say it was verging on gerrymandering. Now, that makes it doubly difficult. But what Jeremy has to do, as well as combat all that disadvantage, is come up with a series of policies that really resonate with the public. You know, he has to talk about immigration. He has to talk about welfare. He has to talk about the economy. We have to be on the right page in terms of the economy. And if we're not on the right page on any of those issues and more, then we'll struggle at the 2020 general election.
So do you think somebody else would have a better chance than Jeremy Corbyn? And if so, who?
Well, Jeremy's the leader and nobody's coming forward as an alternative. I mean, he won with a decent majority within the party and so everybody would expect him to stay exactly where he is.